We have now come to our shorter catechism lesson. If you'd like to follow with me, turn in the back of your training hymnal to page 672. We will now read question 100. Once again, I'll read the question and let the congregation in unison read the answer with me. Question 100 states, what doth the preface of the Lord's Prayer teaches us? The preface of the Lord's Prayer, which is Our Father, which art in heaven, teaches us to draw near to God with all holy reverence and confidence as children to a Father, able and ready to help us, and that we should pray with and for others. The Lord's Prayer consists of three parts, a preface, petitions, six in number, and a conclusion. The preface, by which the answer is trying to draw us to, and containing the words, Our Father, which art in heaven. It is to teach us that when we pray, we are drawn near to God with confidence of His fatherly goodness, and our interest therein with reverence, and we should have childlike dispositions. Romans 8:15 explains well, For you have not received a spirit of slavery, leading to fear again, but you have received a spirit of adoption, as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Messiah explains your contentment and your sight seen once you are in the covenant, once your heart has been changed by the Spirit, and you now can come to the Father. He tells you your relationship to the Father is unlikened as one as a father who has children. And notice the difference in what your relationship is compared to the humans. Luke 11:13. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. Will you not give him a snake instead of a fish? Will he? Or if he has asked for an egg, will he not give him a scorpion? Will he? If you, then being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask of Him? Now, a likened to what's understood in the preference, Our Father, which art in heaven, there's an understanding and a show forth of His position in our relationship to Him. The confession states in chapter 21, section 1, what is our understanding here of the worship that is owed and due to God? The light of nature showeth that there is a God who hath lordship, sovereignty over all. He is good, and He doeth good to all, and therefore is to be feared, loved, praised, called upon, trusted, served with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Now, granted, you can see the understanding that the confession is trying to draw to you. Your respect and understanding in your prayer and the preference, your endowment to God to show His honor, His glory. And look at the way that the confession had used such verbs, adjectives, to display your affection or the thought process you are to have when coming in relationship with God. Again, Isaiah 64:8 and 9 shows for the more such adulation here. But now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are our potter, and all of us are the work of your hand. And again, I state to you in 1 John chapter 2, 13, in the many ways He written the book, He shows that relationship, the paternal love that the Father had for His people. I am writing to you, fathers, because you know Him who has been from the beginning. And I'm writing to you, young men, because you have overcome the evil one. But I have written to you, children, because you know the Father. Now, unlike to those who pray in their hypocrisy, they do not give such adulation, such love. They do not show such respect to the Father. And again, I explain in 1 John 2:15 as I continue. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but it is from the world. So like you see in this first piece, this first portion, and the way that I've construed these clauses together, I want to bring to your attention the adulation and respect that is due to God. And that's what's understood here in this preference. That's what's understood before you pray. And note that many times we stand in the pulpit and we pray. We want to show proper and concurrent adulation to the Father. So our answer continues and telling us that He is ready and able to help us. What does this mean? It just means to show of His love and of His heavenly affections. And I know to you, He has a position sitting. I'm sorry if I apologize, not sitting. That is Christ Himself. But He is positioned in heaven, and that our eyes are to be seen and look towards that and show it our affections to Him. Isaiah 63:15-16 states, "Look down from heaven and see from your holy and glorious habitation, where your zeal and your mighty deeds, the stirring of your heart and the compassions are restrained towards me. For you are our Father, though Abraham does not know us, and Israel does not recognize. Oh, you, Lord, are our Father, our Redeemer from old, is your name." Again, here now, listen to these words in Nehemiah, the working and the loving and the understanding that one is having towards the seeking of God and His love of pouring love to those who obey Him. "I beseech you, O Lord, our God of heaven, the great and awesome God, who preserves the covenant and the loving kindness for those who love Him and keep His commandments. Let your ear now be attentive, your eyes be open to hear the prayer of your servant, which I am praying before you now, day and night, on behalf of the sons of Israel, for your servants, confessing the sins of the sons of Israel, which have sinned against you. I and my father's house, we have indeed sinned." Now, mind you here, also, what's the understood here? That in our answer, in our clause itself, it concludes with stating that we should pray with and for others. And why so? Because the Father seeks that all men are to be saved. 1 Timothy 2:1-4. "First of all, then, I urge that entreaties and prayers, petitions, thanksgiving be made on the behalf of all men, for kings, and for all who are in authority, so that they may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and dignity. This is a good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of His truth." So what is being conveyed here by this preference? Why is this so important? Do you recall in question 44, the preference of the Ten Commandments? What was it teaching us? You see here, the divine state, it teaches that because God is the Lord and our God and Redeemer, then we are there bound to keep the commandments. I iterate even more. God manifests His sovereignty as being Jehovah, the eternal, immutable, and almighty God, having His being in of Himself, and giving to all His words, and all His works. He brought them out of bondage in Egypt, so He delivered them from their spiritual bondage, and therefore we are bound to take Him for our God alone, and to keep His commandments. So if the understanding here with the preference, that in the leading and understanding that you'll always remember, I was the one, the Lord God, to take you out of Egypt, then is it only right in our preference, in our prayers, to recognize again the position of the Father, the understanding and adulation that is in owed and due to Him, first and foremost, so that then your heart and mind is ready and fixated. Once you reiterate the words of what you speak, He will look to bless you if it's according to His will. The confession states in chapter 2, section 2, as I conclude here, "God hath all life, glory, goodness, blessedness in and of himself, and is alone, and unto him himself all sufficient, not standing in need of any creatures, which hath not made or deriving from any glory from them, but he manifests in his own glory in, and unto, and upon them is the lone foundation for all humankind, of all whom and through all things are made through him, hath he has the most sovereign domain over them, to do by them, for them, and upon them whatsoever he pleases. For in his sight everything's all open and manifest. His knowledge is infinite. He is infallible. He is independent upon the creatures, so there is nothing contingent or uncertain. He is the most holy in all his counsel, in all his works, in all his commands. And to him is due from angels, men, and every creature whatsoever worship, service, obedience that is pleased to him and required of them. If you can see the workings and the adjectives that the divines have left here, only then would you understand, and your heart is focused in mind to see why it is necessary to understand the preference, Our Father, which art in heaven. Next week, we will go through this first of six petitions. And through that, realize the amount of detail that explained in the words and the teachings that has evolved around it. Because then, as you continue your life and you go on in your daily walk, you'll realize these are not just plain words that you're stating. You are looking for things that you are seeking in your time being now. And understanding your relationship with the Father, your faith will be strengthened as you reiterate the words, as you seek his blessings, as you seek his mercy, and as you seek his comfort. Please stand.